Oh, we are live now this time. This is, we actually did a little test run just a moment ago. Sorry we're late. Stripe Show Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of the day. The red light is on, Keith, this time, so we don't have to do a few minutes thinking that we're actually recording ourselves, but we are here for the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. That's what we do on a Tuesday. We break things down. Remember, there's only three legs this year in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Last week, we were in Memphis, and it was 100 degrees, and it was humid. And oh man, and it's not much different here in Florida. And now we go out west and we're in the mountains and we're way up there just south of Denver and we're in Castle Pines and our guy there, he is live as he is traveling with the tour from an office there at Read the Line. Keith Stewart, you look out the window. What do you see, my friend, there at Castle Pines? Got to be beautiful.
Oh, Travis Fulton, something you're probably pretty familiar with. Right outside the window here, Rocky Mountains, man, it is spectacular.
Yeah.
I really think, greetings to everyone, lunch on a Tuesday, 10 a.m. for me, but I really think people are going to fall in love with this place this week, and they're going to be asking themselves, like, why do we go to TPC Craig Ranch or something, you know, like, why are we going to the Sanderson Farms, you know, like, in Jackson, Mississippi, you know, like, this place is absolutely exquisite, I'm telling you. It's like you don't even need drone footage. There's so many elevation changes and you know, the way the kind of the mountain, oh my God, the vistas are it's unreal. The sky is this beautiful Read the Line blue. It's just, I tell you, man, it is. You and I love our blue. There's a lot of blue in your logo and mine too.
A lot of blue here.
Oh man, you know, it is, I mean, I can't stop looking out the window. It's so different than where I live up in, you know, outside New York City. I mean, we have some topography, we have some terrain change up there, but man, not like this. This is just, it's really cool. And we're at elevation. So walking around, getting ready for you this morning, surveying the range, doing all that, you know.
You might get a little oxygen before you came on or?
Well, I mean, after I lost about 11 pounds last week, it's for like a week straight of 110, you know, degree heat index. It was like, I mean, Memphis is just a swamp. You know, it's like, oh, golly, it was brutal. And then now to come here at elevation, these guys are going to have a little bit of a test for these 3 weeks because we're going to go back to the swamp, you know, next week in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is going to be a little bit of a challenge. It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it is different. I mean, now you're up there 6,000 feet, 8,100 yards. And we were talking a little bit before we came on here. And I want you to share a few of the things that you were sharing with me about this place because we're trying to figure it out, right? It's like, okay, it's 8,100 yards. What does that really mean at 6,000 elevation? You know, this is going to be a tough walk up and down. Yep. You got the four par fives, as you mentioned. I mean, this is going to be a test for these guys, you know, from a stamina perspective, especially coming off of what they had to put out last week, in Memphis. Now, you know, I mean, south wind's pretty flat, but it was hot. It takes a lot out of you in the humidity. So what kind of player, Keith, share with us here, kind of your cliff notes of what kind of player we're looking at and how do we factor in this elevation Jack Nicklaus design? Take us there.
Well, I think it's important not to overthink it. You know, this was a PGA Tour event from 1986 to 2006. There's two guys in the field of the 50 that have played in the International or the PGA Tour event back then. Jason Day did it in 06 and Adam Scott did it back in 2000. I don't think that Adam Scott's going to recall a golf course from 24 years ago. But what's most important is that this Nicklaus design, what does Nicklaus love to feature in his golf courses? He loved to bomb the ball. So he's going to give you room to hit the driver off the fairway. We're at 8,000 yards. I know it's elevation. I'll get into that in a second. But, like, he wants you to let it rip. You know, it's par 72. There's four par fives. There's some scoring potential here. And then the second thing is the guy loved fairway bunkers. There's bunkers all over the place, right? Wow. So, you know, you definitely want to be a good fairway bunker player. And the third thing is that I'm looking a lot at the greens. 13 on the stimp meter. Tons of tiers to them, right? This is supposed to be Augusta National of the Rocky Mountains. I think you're going to need to, you know, drive for show and putt for dough this week. Now, when you look at that 8,100 yards, it's a little bit of sticker shock. But the fact of the matter is we're even above Denver. You know, we're up here at 6,000 feet. And there's a number of approaches that are – there's 11 that are downhill. There's 6 that are uphill. At 6,000 feet – between 6 and 6,400 feet, which is the golf course goes up and down, we're looking at about a 7.5% adjustment. So a 300-yard drive now goes 323 carry-wise, right? Yeah. So this is the type of place you and I want to go, right? You're going to pick up 7.5%. But if you do the math on 8,100 yards, it cuts it down to about 7,450. And with so many downhill holes, I mean, this will be the shortest 8,100 yards you've ever seen. There's going to be some crazy 400-yard drives. These guys are the best athletes in the world. The last 14 editions of the International, the average winning score was 20 under par. That was 2006, going back a number of years, right? So these guys are better athletes with better equipment and a better golf ball. This thing's going to be a birdie fest.
Yeah.
I expect guys to really, you know, so what do I want to favor? I want to favor ball speed, birdie or better, and the ability to avoid three putts and to capitalize on the greens, you know, putts per green in regulation. I think if you stick with those three things, and we know who's in good form, there's only about 12 guys of the 50 that can actually win this thing.
Yeah, I think you make a lot of good points there. I think you can't overthink this.
Yeah.
You know, we start getting to this time of year, you look at previous winners, and they're all names that you recognize. Because they start to turn it on and they're the best players in the world. And so we know there's a lot of cash, not that they need it, but there's a lot of cash on the line. And, you know, we got one more week to go next week, to go back to Atlanta. And there's a top 30 and so there's 50 in the field. There's 20 guys trying to get in, right? They're on the outside looking in. So yeah, I think you make a lot of good points there and not trying, to overlook this. So before we get to our first look.
Yeah.
Let's start this show like we did last week, which was right at the top of the board. I mean, the two best players we know right now are Scheffler and Shoffley. These guys are, you know, we could argue which way it's going to go for player of the year. Which season would you rather have? 7 wins in a major or 2 majors and what Xander's done? So last week I said, give me Xander over Shoffley because I got a little more confidence in Xander's putting. And that turned out to be the difference. Xander finished second and Xander finished second and Scheffler finished 7th. Did I say that right?
Yeah, well,
I think I did.
You said a lot of Shoffleys.
Scheffler finished 2nd.
You should say Xander 7th. And Scotty. Save yourself the trouble.
Try to say that really fast. Anyway.
Yeah. Xander 2nd, Scotty
4th. I got it right. And I'm taking credit for that one, my guy, because I haven't got a whole lot right this year. So I'm going to lean the same way again this week. Let me see these two guys are going to be there first page. There's no way I don't see them not being there. And I'll give Xander the edge over Scotty because I got a little more faith in Xander's putting.
Scotty, 4th place last week, terrible at Bermuda grass putting. Ball striking is on point. He's coming to a place designed by Nicholas. He just won at Muirfield Village. He's great on Jack Nicklaus designs. If he didn't go to jail, he probably would have won Valhalla. If not, he would have maybe been in a playoff with Xander. You know, I mean, all the reasons in the world to love Scotty this week. Go over to Xander. Xander won at Valhalla, Jack Nicklaus design. Extremely good with every aspect of his game right now.
Yeah.
Both of these guys, when it comes to impact, are going to be right on point. They both have very good player caddy teams to do the math this week. There's going to be so many adjustments on the fly. I think that that's a big part of this. I think that if, you know, you're a Rory and you have Harry Diamond there versus you have Ted Scott, that's a big difference. And I think that the confidence that will give you on like the par 3 11th where it drops 90 feet and it's 200 yards and there's water surrounding the green and you got one swing and, you know, you're figuring this thing out. It's you got to know what you're doing and you got to work together as a team. So I don't know. I'm not going to bet either. So I don't really feel a need to pick either one. But I think that Scotty is actually a little better than Xander. So I'm going to go with Scotty because he's back on the type of greens that he putts very well on. That Poa/Anua / bent grass blend that we see a lot. He's good. I mean, they're both great. They're going to finish in the top 5, both of them.
Yep. All right. So there's our thoughts on the top 2. All right. Let's get a little something that we call our first look. Take it.
All right. Let me slide the mouse over here. Here we go. I'm going back to the BMW defending champion.
Okay.
One, Mr. Vic de Hovland. He was very good to me this time of year last year, and it seems as if the short game is not bothering him as much as it has been. So I like Victor this week to continue the ball striking what he was doing. One of the few guys in the field, not named Xander or Scotty, that was top 5 off the tee top five on approach, and he's a top 30 putter on the PGA Tour. So really, when you throw the – and I know it's a big thing, but the way that – the confidence that Victor played with last week was very similar to Olympia Fields. And if there's one thing I've noticed about the BMW is that the Western Golf Association, they tend to pick golf courses that seem very similar. Caves Valley to Wilmington to Olympia Fields to this golf course. These are big driver-heavy golf courses with long iron play, lots of scoring. It favors guys that we've seen over the last couple of years win. Two of the last 3 years was Cantlay. Last year it was Hovland. Makes a lot of sense to me. Victor could have easily won right there, the St. Jude. His two of his best finishes of the year. I mean, if you want to go down this road, he was third at Valhalla, Nicholas Design. He was 15th at Memorial, Nicholas Design. I think he's supremely suited to go for another BMW run right here.
Yeah, it's not just that he's probably starting to gain some confidence again with the short game, although he did lose 1.1 at FedEx. I mean, his putter has arrived, and now I think his iron game is starting to look a little more like Victor. And, you know, a lot of this discussion with the things that he was doing at this time last year, and we, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I've been somewhat critical of Victor in after, you know, he was the best player in the world in my eyes at this time last year, winning the last two. I mean, the guy was on top of the world, playing the best golf that we've seen. He finally put the short game to rest.
Yeah.
And then he decides to go in a different direction, and he leaves Joe Mayo, and he starts tinkering with his swing, and it's just like, what are you doing? Yeah. And so you listen to him in his press conference. I don't know if he's exactly fallen on the sword and say, hey, I made a mistake. You know, I'm trying – he likes the position that he's trying to get better and this and that. But at the same time, I mean, we can all try to get better, and we make bad decisions, and we have to learn from those decisions. And I think he's done that. And I hope now that he stays consistent with the track that currently, that obviously last year made him or helped him become the player that he was. Yeah. And now he looks starting to look a little bit more like that, positive 5.6. with his irons last week, positive 3 with his driver. That's heady stuff. Positive 3.3 with the putter. So yeah, I'm excited to see Victor back. I'm excited to see him doing the things, but make no mistake. I think, you know, look, some of the short game technique that he's kind of gotten back to and he's doing well with again is great. But I also think they work pretty strategically on a swing. And so I think his iron game is starting to come back, to where it was as well. Now I would go to the guy that you were touting last week as kind of my first click, and that's Cantlay, because this is Patrick Cantlay season. I mean, this is when he starts to really come along. And I think what's interesting with both Cantlay and Vic, I mean, Cantlay hasn't won in 2 years. The last time he won was this tournament 2 years ago. Now it's at a different venue. But you know, he's won this tournament twice. This is the time of year he really starts to go. We see Victor now coming on. These two guys are probably like, man, I wish the season would just kind of continue on. We're just starting to figure some things out here. You know, Cantlay's driver is starting to look dominant again. You know, he's starting to look like he's really driving the ball well. His iron game, I think he would like to see it probably a little bit sharper, but his putter's been good. I'm going to lean Cantlay. You've got Hovland. Those are a couple guys right around right now. What is it? The, you know, 18-1 mark. So, you know, you come down the board, we're passing McIlroy, we're passing Morikawa, we're going to pass last week's winner Matsuyama, and we're going to give you Hovland and Cantlay. How's that?
Yeah, I love Cantlay. It goes back to my point about these BMW venues. They really suit a player like Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, they do.
And people, they don't like to bet Cantlay or use him in DFS lineups or whatever because they don't like Cantlay. But here's the thing. If everyone is playing their best, Patrick Cantlay is a top five player in the world.
Right. Yep.
Hands down. Mm-hmm. Okay. He is legit up there with Rahm, Rory, Xander, and Scotty. I mean, he is legit top five player in the world. And these big driver heavy iron fests where you got to be able to putt on bent grass greens totally suit this guy. And that's why he's good at these things for the last couple of years at the BMW. Last week at the Pro-Am, it was really odd because I walked with him for, you know, these guys, they were doing 9-hole Pro-Ams and then they switched to a different guy on the back nine, right? He goes out, he birdies his first 5 holes on his own ball. Like that, Travis. I was like, this is go time, right? Like, this guy is going to take this thing because he's been good at TPC Southman before. And then Thursday, it was like the weirdest thing, but then he was 11 under for the final 54 holes. He played really, really well. So I think he found something even more so than where he was at having like his best approach round of the tournament of the year at Royal Troon, gaining six. I think he's really geared up to go, and I love the both of them at the top of the board.
The guy just below them is Ludvig. Let me ask you a question. He's at 25.
Yeah.
Do you think if you ask Ludvig if he's tired right now that he would answer that truthfully?
No.
I mean, do you think Ludvig is a little fatigued right now as we get towards the end of the season?
I think a lot of guys are either physically or mentally fatigued.
Yeah.
I think somebody like Spieth or Ludvig are physically fatigued. And I think that guys like Rory and Max Homa are mentally fatigued. Just, yeah. These are very easy examples to point out and things that I'm seeing, right? But I think Ludvig has got an issue with his knee. He's had it since Valhalla.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kid was in college a year and a half ago, playing like seven tournaments a semester. Now he's played in the last year, he's played like 35, right? That's a lot. And so I think
he's got to be. He's got to be with the knee and the whole bit. Yeah, he's got to be a little fatigued. And so we passed on him last week, and there's no way that, you know, I'm going to – I mean, now you got this walk ahead of you. I'd have a hard time with that. All right, let me give you five names and do
– Just five?
Right. Any of them – do any of them give you any hope that, yeah, this guy could maybe win this thing? Because you made a good point last week. I kind of did this last week with you.
All right.
And this is how we got to Hideki, and you kind of touted a little more. Yeah, I think Hideki is better than this person and this person and this person. And then, you know, and you made the point that, hey, if Hideki gets in the hunt, he is a guy, one of a handful of guys that can beat Scotty and Xander. And sure enough, he holds him off and beats him. So I want to take that same approach here.
All right, do it. Give me the
So
names.
We got Fleetwood Finau.
Okay.
We've got Wyndham Clark, who is starting to play like Wyndham Clark again, like we were seeing at the earlier in the season.
Yep.
Sam Burns played well last week. I'll throw him in there. And then I'm going to put Aaron Ryan there, who is hitting the ball like an absolute master. I mean, unbelievable ball striking with his iron game. And he struggled putting last week. And if he didn't, he may have won again. So those are your five names. Does anybody of those five have a chance to go up there? And there's Scotty. There's Xander. Yep, that guy could beat him.
Yeah. We'll get into it in a little bit. But if I'm gonna say who can beat those guys at the top, it'd probably be a tie. 1A and 1B would be Clark and Burns. And then probably Finau, Fleetwood, and then Rye. Okay. I mean, Fleetwood was great last week, except – he lost eight strokes with the putter, but he was like second in the field, tee to green. So you got to watch out for Fleetwood this week. I don't know that he's going to win his first PGA Tour event. It's going to be a playoff event. He's certainly talented enough to do that. Staring down Scotty and some of these other guys, I don't know if in a playoff event with all of this on the line, but Fleetwood will be hanging around. You want to get a guy who's primed for an easy top 10, you know, on a golf course where you're constantly questioning impact and compression, because you're like, oh, we're going down, we're going up. This is like, I'm gonna hit my 8-iron 221 here. It's like, wait, really? And then he's like, yeah. And his caddy says, and Ian Finnis goes, oh yeah, but it's like, it's playing 181. And he's like, all right, well then I'll just hit it. You know, like those are the types of guys you want to feature this week. Finau, over there in Utah, everyone's talking about Tony Finau. I was on him last week and he was just kind of mediocre, you know, which, the way he'd been hitting the golf ball lately, I expected a lot more out of him. Is this a better fit for him? It could be. It could be. I worry about the putter on these greens. These greens are a lot harder. Like, one of the reasons I like Finau last week is because the greens are easier to putt. I think that helps Tony. I think that this week it becomes a little bit more of a handicap. The first two I mentioned, Burns, I didn't like that he broke his driver, but his driver seems to be working, and there's a guy that can fill up the hole. And I really think that you're going to have to get to 20 under this week. You're certainly going to need low 20s of subpar scores.
Yeah.
Right? And guys are going to make mistakes because they're going to miscalculations, or they're just not going to know what to hit a certain club, and you're going to miss a green, get in a bad spot, whatever. So that, you know, you're going to need a little bit of scrambling, but overall, you're going to need like 22, 23, 24 subpar scores. And Burns can do that. I really like Wyndham Clark. Three of his last four starts on the PGA Tour. Forget the Denver thing. The guy doesn't live here anymore. It's not the altitude part. For me, it is this golf course. We started at the top. Drive for show, putt for dough. When Wyndham is rolling, that's what he does best.
Yeah.
Right? This suits him to a T. And if he's that much more comfortable because he understands golf at altitude that much better, and he's played this golf course maybe two or three times in the last 5 years, so he has a little familiarity with it, I think that's great. But overall, he's got three top tens in his last four PGA starts. He was 14th at the Olympics. He's gaining in all the right areas for this golf course. And yes, he is tremendously bad at the Open Championship. He was in the bad weather wave, and maybe the Open Championship's just not his jam, right? Mm-hmm. That's fine. But everything else he's been doing points towards, and the weakest part of Wyndham's game is his approach play, and that's been pretty good lately. So he's T7 right there at St. Jude. He looked good. He continues to be able to score. I think he's definitely one of those guys, especially in that five. And I haven't mentioned Aaron Rye. Aaron Rye will continue to hit the ball as good as he can. I walked a lot. You would love this. I walked with John Graham a bunch last week because we're spending some time with Benny on. I was watching him, and John's like, man, he's like, Aaron's just been like a sponge with this stuff. And I'm so happy to see it working out for him. And he's been doing great and tremendous win last week. And I said, you know, John, it's a funny question. I said, John, I go, how many wins you got now? He's like, oh, he starts counting on his fingers. He goes, you know, it's like 14 or something like that. How many majors? He's like, oh, like five majors and a players. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, he's like, but the thing I love the most, he's like, I've had helped so many guys get their first win. Like with Aaron, he took a tremendous amount of pride in that. He goes, you can't believe how good this guy hits the ball. Oh, so I think that he's definitely somebody for a top 10 this week because he's another one that's not going to question like Fleetwood, how far it goes, right? If he gets the number and he says, okay, I need to hit this far, he knows how far he's hitting it right now. And I think that's really, really important. Same thing with Vic. Same thing with Cantley. These approach shots are going to be really, like, they're going to be really tempting to like, bail out because it's going to be like, I'm going to hit my 7-iron 230. Like, really? Like, that's what's going to happen? Like, and I carry water and it's a front pin. Like, you better know what you're doing. And you're going to see it so many times this week.
This could be a coming out party for Aaron Rye. You know, I mean, I know he won Wyndham. I get it.
I think it already is.
I mean, he's coming out. He got a win. I get that. But I don't think it's people are not, we're not looking at him like in the same breath as, all right, you just put him last in the five guys that I gave you.
Yeah, but look at all the other guys.
I know. I'm just saying. That's my point. I get it. Like, this could be a coming out party of the respect of that this guy deserves to be in that conversation of, hey, Aaron Rye has the game to go toe-to-toe with Scotty and Xander. Now, he hasn't done it yet. I know that. But my point is that when you look at him statistically, it sure stacks up. I mean, we're talking about a guy that in the last two times has been positive 8.8 and positive 7.8 with approach. I mean, that's insane.
I mean, Travis.
That's insane. Real quick, putting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the guy can't putt either. I mean, you go back just in the summer, Rocket Mortgage, positive 4.8, John Deere, positive 8.9. Now, I know that's not the BMW Championship. Genesis, positive 5.7. I mean, this guy can putt too. So it's – now, he lost 4.7 last week, still finished 16th at St. Jude. I'm not saying Aaron Rye deserves to be in that category. What I'm saying is that, man, it sure looks like this is a complete game that's bubbling up that – hey, Aaron Rye could be right there in the first page, first, second to last group on a Sunday with the big boys. I'd like to see how he does. I really would.
I mean, real quick, right? I'll give you two twosomes. Would you rather invest in Aaron Rye and Akshay Bhatia going forward, or would you rather invest in Cam Young and Sahith Theegala?
Oh, now you got to give me some time to think about this. That's a deep
question. Going forward, right?
That's a deep question.
When you look at what these guys are doing.
Who, Rye and who?
Rye and Akshay.
Okay.
Right? Versus the trajectory of what Sahith and Cam Young are doing.
Woo.
Like who would you buy? Who would you sell? this week, right? Not, and not just for this week, but their careers going forward.
Man, that's a.
I mean, think, I mean, it's kind of a tangential point, but like, I'm just trying to validate the fact that what I see out of Aaron Rye, what I see out of Akshay all the time, these guys hit the golf ball at a level with which is a lot greater than people are giving them credit for. I mean, what Akshay was doing in the spring with his approach game, like gaining, like you said, like 7, 8, a turn, that's, you gain 3 in any one category. That's a great week.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know?
It is.
So anyway.
It is unbelievable. And I'd like to see Rye. I'd like to see Rye in that environment. I really would. I'd like to see him in that environment. Yeah. I want him playing with Scotty. I want him playing with Xander on a Sunday. And I'd love to see how he would stack up and how he would manage it. Because we know, like, when it gets to that point, it's not just about that you've done it, right? That you can hit the ball that good, that you can putt that good. It's that you have to do it right now. You've got to elevate and step up and be that guy, because there's the mental aspect of it. There's the nerves aspect of it. And so can Aaron Rye overcome that? Now, we've seen guys do that. We've seen Sam Burns come in and handle that situation. He's a guy that kind of, you know, I think earned his keep to some degree and has proved that he belongs in that conversation. And so can Aaron Rye, you know, next week is such a weird week. It's the last week, really, I think, of, you know, this kind of conversation. So I'm just interested to see if Rye can put himself in that situation again, continue to play the way he has and elevate himself. I think he's certainly a great top 20, top 10 pick. I think Wyndham Clark, it's good to see him kind of fight through some adversity and get back to playing good golf again. I think Wyndham Clark is definitely in play. I've already bet him. He's right now he's all the way down to like 28. I got him like at 33. So, I mean, how much further are we going to go down? I mean, there's JT, you know, 45-1. Sahith's 50. Just mentioned him. Connors can't get at the 20-plus under, can he? Sungjae, Cameron Young can't get at the 20-plus under, can he?
No.
Batia?
No.
Jason Day, he's played there back in 2006. I mean, are we really going to – I mean, I just – gosh.
I think that it
– I have a hard time going this far down the board. Other than you want some pedigree and you want some guys that can go. And I think finally Will Zalatoris is finally starting to put some things together. I don't think he's going to win, but I do think Will's starting to feel a little more comfortable again and starting to put some pieces back together.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice to see Will get himself a nice start. He's really changing his golf swing. And, it's night and day.
It is.
The average odds of the winner of the BMW over the last 5 years is like 22-1 or something like
it's
that.
Hard. It's
so
hard.
We're really at a point right now where these guys want to push, and they also know that like in 2 weeks it's all over.
Yeah.
Right now, certain guys are going to go for the President's Cup, et cetera, but this is the end of the grind until January, and you know you're not going to see Scotty and Xander and those guys like lining up this fall, maybe once, but like they're not going to go do these events in the fall.
No.
So this is it, you know, and I think they give it their all. And it really comes down to that question. Like, I think Will Zalatoris could stare down Scotty.
Sure.
I think Adam Scott could do it. I do not think Cameron Young or Sahith or Sungjae Im could do it. I really thought JT would be better last week, and just wasn't great with the putter.
The putter. Just not good.
So here's a guy.
I know where you're going. Let me guess.
I'll give you a hint. If you go back like 16 rounds, this guy's like, he's like third best in strokes gained total behind the big two, Xander and Scotty.
Well, I mean, at this place, what we've learned so far to this point in the pod, driver and putter.
Yeah.
The guys won Taylor Pendrith.
No.
That's not where you're going?
Nope. Well, although Taylor Pendrith has been great. Don't get me wrong.
Down the board, the two guys that I'll talk about here in the pod and sprinkle is Will. I mean, Will just that he's – I think he is starting to look a little more like Will again. He's got a ways to go, but it was encouraging last week. He's 37th right now in the FedEx Cup. So he's He's got to get, he's got to get going, into that top 30, which I think would be remarkable considering his injury and where, you know, he's had to come back from. And then Pendrith, those are the two. So where are you going to go down there?
So last week, Adam Scott uses two different sets of irons, right? One when he goes overseas, one with way more camber, and then he uses one with a wider sole over here in the States. He had just adjusted back to his stateside irons last week, and you could see his ball striking got better and better as the rounds went on. I think Adam Scott is a good, very good live bet this week. The guy I was saying that has been hitting the ball extremely good, that no one's like, everyone's paying attention to him, but they pay attention to his mouth. They're not paying attention to his game. It's Billy Horschel, man. Billy Horschel is playing really, really good, you know? And at a place where the putting is going to be really hard, you're going to need to scramble a little bit. One of the things that's interesting to me, and I know the game has evolved in the last 20 years, but a lot of the guys that won at elevation at the International weren't the longest of hitters. Yes, you had your Phils, your BJs, your Ernies, you know, some of the other guys off the top of my head. But then, you know, Brad Faxon won here, Dean Wilson won here, Ola Thobel, you know. So, like, there were some guys that were some really good scorers that won here. And I just think that this golf course – allows somebody like Billy to just crush the par fours, right? And be really good with his long iron play on the par threes and just hang around, you know? And I think, and he's at what, 40? So that's about as far as I'm going to go down there. Adam's at like 50, but that's as far as I'm going. I can't really justify any. I mean, you know, I think Eric Cole is going to do Eric Cole things for the next couple of months and rack up a bunch of top 15s and top 10s, but like, you know, we went over it again last week. Everyone's like, oh, Russell Henley. I'm like, well, what happened? You know?
Yeah, I mean, that was not good.
You know, it's
– Billy, Corrales, and BMW. How about that? If he could pull it off.
The guy's won playoff events before.
Yeah.
Right? He's a FedEx Cup champion.
FedEx Cup champ. You know, he won the Memorial, just a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago.
And he's been around long enough and played on an international team.
2022 won the Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, three top tens, last three events, second at the Open, seventh at Wyndham, 10th at the FedEx. Yeah, he's been solid. You know, he's driving it in fairway. Ooh. Iron game's been very good. I think a short game's certainly good enough. And Billy can go with the putter now. You know, he can.
Oh, yeah.
I think with Billy, too, I think Billy likes really fast greens.
Oh, yeah.
Billy likes really fast greens.
Billy's good on hard golf courses.
Yeah.
Hard golf course because he's a great scrambler. You know, he's just a good scorer from inside 50 yards. And there's a lot of things everyone's talking about, and I mentioned this earlier, and I'm falling into the trap sometimes too with some of the content, but one of the biggest differences you're going to find is that the thin air changes the trajectory of the golf ball and the amount of spin that's on it. Well, you know, that might not bother you that much hitting a 7-iron 220 or whatever it's going to be, but when you're pitching it from 40 yards and you don't get the same level of grab that you get in your short game, you better be a great scrambler, right? The ball's going to come off the club face with less spin, less grab. On these greens, they're going to be multi-tiered. You got to be a good putter to save yourself, three-putt avoidance or approach putting, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I mean, Billy can get it done with a wedge in his hand, and I think that that's going to be a key club this week that a lot of people are overlooking.
Good stuff. Good stuff. 50 guys trying to get to the top 30. It's good conversation. I was, you know, it's hard to get too far down the board, like you said.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Billy's going to get some play for sure. And – you know, I mean, look, we're going to get to late on a Saturday into Sunday, and that leaderboard is going to shake up just like it did last week, where you see those top six names, and you're like, oh wow, look at that. Those are this is a great leaderboard. I think we're going to see it again as well because these guys are, like you said, it's motivated. I mean, they're you know, Scheffler, Xander. I think there's that one on one going there a little between them. You know, Rory seems a little fatigued mentally. You know, I think you got some guys fatigued physically. But it's Hovland and Cantlay season, and if they can do what they've done in years past this time of year, hey, we can make a little money right there, 18, 19, 20 to 1.
I mean, I don't need many more 50 to 1s. I'll keep taking – I mean, you know, I got 9 wins, 18 to 1, 22 to 1, whatever you can get, man, I'll take it. I mean, you can't get that on a Sunday in the NFL unless you come up with some like stupid parlay or whatever. So, I mean, until golf is over, everybody grab these 20-to-1 winners because it won't happen all fall. And when you do, man, it's a nice payday.
All right. Good stuff. BMW, enjoy Colorado, and we'll see you next week from Atlanta.
Hey, real quick, primer for Eastlake. Andrew Green redid the whole golf course.
Yeah.
Make sure you're previewing it. Yeah. The whole thing. Eastlake is vastly different, I've heard. So
yeah. I'm curious to see how it's different. The only person that's gonna be disappointed by that is Xander, because no one liked old Eastlake better than Xander. Thanks for being here, folks. A little word from our sponsor to close us out. If you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figured out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putting can be, head over to labgolf.com.